Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I am Ken Edwards with the National Coalition of Labor. Sitting to my left, Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm great. Back in the saddle.
Yeah. Welcome back.
It's good to have you back, Phil. We missed you.
Ed Maher with the NCL. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ken.
So Phil is wearing the most ridiculous sweatshirt I've ever seen. It's KISS.
Ridiculously awesome.
But it's what does he call that color? Powder blue.
Sky blue.
Yeah, powder blue.
And it's only Paul Stanley from KISS.
Yes.
In the shape of like a Christmas tree.
With a star at the top.
Yeah, but Paul Stanley's Jewish. Did you know that?
Some Jewish people still celebrate Christmas, Ken.
And it's my birthday.
Yes.
Right?
You get a twofer.
So that's your
this
shirt.
This is in honor of them, KISS, being honored at the Kennedy Center.
Which is the goofiest thing I've ever seen.
What are you talking about?
Good news, listeners. Just because this is a radio show doesn't mean you can't also enjoy Phil's shirt.
Thank you.
Phil wore it thinking that nobody will see it.
Right.
Are you going to like an ugly Christmas party sweater thing or something like that?
No, I'm going to a very important Christmas party. This is just what I wear. This is my formal wear.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
This is a holiday attire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are his Sunday clothes.
Exactly.
So you want to hear some kind of what I thought a listener actually sent in and something cool that the St. Louis building trades, of which Mid-America Carpenters are.
Proud member.
We have a bunch of NCL locals down there.
Yep.
They formed a coalition amongst the trades for wellness. And when I say wellness, I mean mental health awareness,
okay,
suicide prevention, drug addiction issues, and they formed this coalition and said, you know, we have to address this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got together and they kicked off this coalition of the trades, and I'm going to read a statistic that blew me away.
Let's hear it.
All right. In 2022, there were 600 and change deaths on the job, okay? Construction. I'm just talking construction.
Construction-related?
You know, nationwide, 600 and change deaths. I'm going to go with the bulk of them being on non-union job sites, but that's just my, you know, 2 cents. I don't know if that's true or not. Simultaneously, at the same time, there were 5,000 suicides in the trades and 17,000 drug deaths.
Wow.
Imagine that. Like, sobering. So it's sobering, like literally, like no pun intended. So I'm glad to see that you're starting to see this trades wide, right? Like
for sure.
The trades, like, you know, this too tough to talk thing and whatnot. More and more trades are addressing the fact that our members, you know, you're working early nights, days, you know, weekends. You don't see your family that much, right? You get hurt, and all of a sudden you're addicted to pain meds, you know, things like that. So it's important to have these type of things going on.
Construction has one of the highest suicide rates of any industry, I believe, right?
After public safety and police, things like that.
Yep.
But mm-hmm. suicide numbers are up across the workforce in general, just I think a lot to do with the difficulties. No, I think the difficulties, things aren't affordable anymore. People can't afford basic things. So I think this is a microcosm of sort of the workplaces in general. But hats off to them, because as Ken and I go around, unions everywhere are just, they're looking for things that work. Like, have you heard of unions doing things that are working for mental health, just to give people access to care, not have to wait 60 days before they can get in? So,
right.
You know, folks are trying everything, to the point that national insurance companies are trying to put together mental health networks.
As well they should.
Yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah, we've got to make it easy for people.
And there's been a dearth of social workers and people in this profession because it doesn't pay anything, right?
Right.
So nobody wants to go into it anymore. And so, you know, this is sort of a downward spiral. So maybe things will turn around in that regard.
There's still that stigma amongst trade
sure.
people.
All day.
Like,
no question.
No, I'm too tough for this, but you're not. Everyone goes through tough circumstances in life, and you got to take care of yourself, and you got to seek help out, and there's nothing to be ashamed about.
And I think the moment that somebody realizes that they need some kind of help, it's a moment of vulnerability that's fleeting. So if you say, okay, we're going to get you help, and it's coming in 2 months, there's 100 opportunities for them to take an off-ramp and not get help. So when somebody is willing to say, hey, I could use a little bit of help, we've got to make that as accessible as possible, as easy as possible.
And as immediate as possible.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Yeah. So we're also going to be partnering with an organization here in Chicago that provides counseling and support services to first responders.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a pilot project that we're going to be unrolling.
When you say we, you mean
the Carpenters?
So are we not invited, like the rest of us?
You're welcome to. I'll give you his number. It's okay. Business card.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Come on in.
Right?
You thought he was having like a no Ken's allowed party over there, Ken?
Just we. Like, who's we?
People know I work for the Carpenters.
Oh, do they?
They do. They do.
Wow. Nobody would know that, Phil.
I'm known in these parts.
So, we have a big show today.
Yeah,
we have guys that are going to come on. I think we're going to have our first like Zoom call. I've never had a Zoom call on the radio, but we'll figure out how that works. Guys that run the Labor Radio Network, which basically aggregates all like just tons and tons of, you know, small radio networks, shows, podcasts, things like that, and sends out a list of these things. So we're going to talk to these guys. Fascinating.
There are other shows other than ours?
Apparently. Well, it's interesting. We are going to promote the competition for a minute, all right?
But we're all pushing in the same direction.
We're supposed to be.
Do you think they're going to be starstruck talking to us?
Yes.
Like, seriously.
Yes.
Phil, I'm starstruck every Sunday walking in here when I see you, especially your giant bottle of booze that you have with you today for no real reason.
Yeah, Phil, for some reason, has a bottle of bourbon in front of him. It is sealed. It's sealed, Mrs. Davidson. Don't worry.
So anyway, we got those guys coming on, and then we're going to talk about a lot of stuff that's happening in the labor world right now, including the passage of that bill that we talked about. We're going to talk about what's happened in Utah.
Yeah.
We're talking about what's going on in Mercedes. We're going to talk Denny's for a quick second, Ed, your second favorite restaurant in the world.
Yeah, Denny's is like, what is it, Waffle House for people who don't know how to fight?
That's correct. So anyway, we're going to be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed Maher, here with Ken Edwards and Phil Davidson. And we're joined with a couple of guests. We've got Harold Phillips and Chris Garlock from the Labor Radio Podcast Network.
Welcome, guys.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much, guys, and good morning, Chicago.
Yeah, and you guys are
great to be here. Great to be here.
And you guys are with us via Zoom. This is a first for us, right? We usually do Zoom virgin. There
Zoom
we go.
21st century.
Yeah,
welcome. Can you believe that?
Out with the old, in with the new.
Yeah. So tell us, and what's the name of the aggregator that you guys have?
It's the Labor Radio Podcast Network. If you all were on Zoom with us, you'd see our snazzy T-shirts.
Got it. Oh.
Okay. Everybody's wearing fun clothes today, but alas, we're on the radio.
We'll get there one day with technology. Yeah, WGN.
We will.
One day we'll have a computer in our studio.
WGN is a tiny little station, like mom and pop thing.
You think mom and pop.
Saving up for a computer.
Computer. I think they'd be able to get this thing going. So, all right. So, guys, first of all, quick shout out to what you guys do for a living, and that is, you know, from my perspective anyway, you aggregate all of the labor shows. By the way, is it just in the United States or is it international?
It's actually international. We've got a lot of shows in the network that are from overseas, England, Canada, obviously. There's
Australia.
South Africa.
Australia would be a big one.
I'm surprised Canada still lets us into their airspace. You know?
Begrudgingly.
We're slipping under the radar.
They haven't figured out how to block the radio signals yet.
But you guys aggregate all of these shows and then put out a list every single day. I mean, every day, right? Of here are the shows. Here's what they talked about. Here's a link to the show. Like, so explain to me the genesis and to our listeners the genesis of how this came about and more importantly, why.
So we've been doing labor radio for a long time and sort of realized there were other people who were doing labor radio and then podcasts. And so we just basically thought, let's talk to other people who were doing the same thing. And it turned out that there are a lot more. And then Harold is the one who has to scour. He handles our social media, scour for all the different things. And I think we're over 200 now, right, Harold?
Wow.
Yeah, actually pretty much 250.
Wow.
Pretty close to it.
Holy moly. And that's like radio shows and or podcasts?
Just exactly. You know, a lot of radio shows like yours, the Workers' Mic, will broadcast live, and then they'll put recordings up on their websites as podcasts.
Right.
So it's kind of TiVo for radio in a way. You can tune in at 7 a.m., but if you miss the show, you can go back and you can listen to what people said. So, yeah, like you said, every day we're sending stuff out through our social media with links to labor radio shows and podcasts, new episodes. We're letting people know about the new shows that have just popped up, bringing the producers together in weekly meetings so that we can help each other out and get out the voice of working people in labor.
Right. I mean, we're all pushing in the same direction, really, right?
We should be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we should mention that one of the things we developed, Harold, I think what's been like 3 years now, the Labor Radio Podcast Weekly, which was we realized that people don't always necessarily with over 200 shows now, which one to listen to.
The Workers' Mic. I mean, they should all listen to the Workers' Mic.
Let's start there.
Definitely listen to the Workers' Mic. But what we do is in the weekly, we'll excerpt a bunch of the shows, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes, give them a taste. You know, here's what Workers' Mic sounds like.
Sure.
Here's what a show on the West Coast tastes like. Here's what that Teamster doing his podcast out of his cab sounds like.
Wow.
And that way, when people hear that, then they can. And then we always say, you know, go to laborradionetwork.org and you can subscribe to the show itself. And so it's really kind of a way to introduce people to be honest. Just, I mean, the range of shows that we have, guys, is just phenomenal.
Oh, I've seen the list. I mean, it's absolutely shocking to me. Look, it's one of those things where you don't know it until you know it, right? And I didn't know it existed until I somehow came across your organization and joined your email list. And it's heartening, I got to say, heartening, not disheartening, heartening to see all of these labor podcasts and people, you know, getting up on social media and, you know, the TikToks and Instagrams and Facebooks and Reels and this. I mean, it took a long time, I think, for labor to finally get to this place right now. And we're not even there yet, right? But, like, it's just heartening to see, you know, so many people out there and they're passionate about it, right?
Well, this is the thing, I think, that people who've just woken up to labor in the past 2-3 years with all the strikes and Starbucks Workers United and that kind of stuff don't necessarily realize is that labor has been around and has been waging these fights for a long time. And there's a lot more people who think like you, working person, who's maybe not getting treated right by your boss than you think there are.
For sure.
Because we all have our little silos. We all have our little communities and we think, oh, I'm the only one who's dealing with this stuff. And then you open up your ears and you realize, oh, no, there's people in Cincinnati, in Bellingham, Washington, in Silver Springs, Maryland, who are having the same issues, and they're talking about how they can deal with it. And that's one of the great things about the network is there's such a diversity of voices talking about that stuff and sharing tips on how you can actually make a difference in your life and make a difference at work.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thanks for doing this. I mean, you guys are not getting paid to do this, are you?
No, not a penny. Not a penny. Labor of love, baby. Yeah. Labor of love. Although, don't let SAG-AFTRA find out about it, Harold.
They're not listening. Don't worry.
Trust me.
It's under contract.
Hey, Harold. We've been trying to get our AFTRA card for 3 years now. They won't give it to us. So, what's your background like, Harold? Where do you come from?
Well, I'm an actor and, you know, a voice artist, and I also do comms for Central Labor Councils in Western Washington.
Got it. Okay.
And I got to thinking about how I might be able to help out the movement that's been so good to me.
Yeah.
And the notion of getting on the mic and podcasting came up. And so I started a podcast in Southwest Washington and got connected to Chris, who had already worked out the network part of the network, which is bringing people together, having them help each other out. And that just kind of got us to where we are here.
How long has it been around?
Gosh, what's 5-6 years? That's pre-pandemic by a couple of years.
Okay.
You were actually doing the conference calls before the pandemic. And then we kind of shifted focus during the pandemic.
And so,
because what happened was that I had a show. I've done labor comms for years, probably like, you know, 25 years, and I was working at the DC Labor Council, and we had a weekly show at WPFW, which is a Pacifica station in town. And I just started hearing people, they'd say, oh, there's a show in, you know, wherever. And I was like, well, let me start talking to these folks. And, you know, because I'm an organizer, and so I just started, we Let me find out. How do people do it?
What union you come from?
National Writers Union, Writers Guild.
Got it.
So basically communication.
Gotcha. So, and you, Chris, you're on the East Coast.
East Coast, yep.
Okay.
Out of Washington, D.C.
Got it. So let me ask you guys this question, okay? You did this organically, right? And realized that there was, A, a need for this, B, there was all this information out there, but nobody was really coalescing it and you know, putting it in one sort of one-stop shopping, if you will. You guys filled that niche. Why isn't the AFL-CIO on top of this? Why aren't they doing it? Like, why does it take this organic, you know, one guy from the West Coast, one guy from the East Coast? Like, why is that? Like, how come labor doesn't have a full-on frontal comms attack?
Well, you know, that is a question that gets asked sometimes. And I think it's because the best ideas do come from the rank and file, you know?
Well said.
Yeah.
People who are on the ground are dealing with the day-to-day, right? And they come up with creative solutions. And those creative solutions will develop and will sometimes move up into leadership and move up into national leadership with the Federation and that kind of stuff. But the labor movement is made up of a bunch of really creative people and really dedicated people, and they can come up with a lot of ideas. So who's to say in a while maybe there won't be something from the AFL-CIO? Right now it's organic and coming from the rank and file.
My office is actually in the AFL-CIO building, and I know the folks there. You know, I can text Liz Schuler. But one of the things, because people have raised this in the network, you know, we need to get some, how come the AFL is not doing this? And one of the things I say to them is, you know, that if we work with the AFL-CIO, you guys are going to start getting notes. Right? You know? Do you guys at Workers Mike want to get notes from the AFL-CIO about who you should interview?
It wouldn't matter because we wouldn't listen to them.
We work for nobody.
Yeah. That is autonomy is important.
Well, the nice thing about our show is one-third of our show's representatives are not in the AFL.
True.
Right. Well, but this is the thing. The labor movement is really diverse. The labor movement is not just the AFL-CIO.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that is absolutely
one of the things
for sure.
I love about the network is we have all kinds of different voices from all kinds of different perspectives. If you have a particular bent, chances are you're going to find a show that speaks to you amongst those 250 shows in the network.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I just want to say this for the record. I think that it's incumbent upon labor to take the cue from the rank and file, from what you guys are doing, right, from what all of your podcasters are doing, and have somebody, I don't care if it's the AFL, an amalgamation of, you know, all the unions change to win, blah, 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 but somebody needs to do kind of like what the Carpenters are doing with Built to Last, right? They have a TV show. Take some of the money that we pay in per caps.
You mean instead of just spending it on politics?
Instead of just funneling it directly to the Dems.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Right to the Dems, right here. I can write my own check to the Dems, okay? We didn't give a single penny, the AFL, not a single penny to Republicans. And so take that money and get a TV show, you know, get a nationwide radio show, get on SiriusXM, do something like nationwide and make it big and make it strong, throw a lot of resources behind it. Because what you guys are doing, I think, is the
awesome.
The nascent part of what should be happening. We really appreciate what you guys do. I read your thing every single day and listen to some of the shows that are on there, the ones, like you said, that I think are interesting. So, you know, we appreciate it.
What's your website so folks who are interested can check it out?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's laborradionetwork.org. And you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, even...
Don't say it!
That other
network
site.
Truth Social? Okay.
Labor Radio Net.
We appreciate you guys.
We are not going to have Truth Social anytime soon.
Us either. Yeah. But yeah, we appreciate you guys. We've got to take a break. But thank you so much for being on the show.
Right back at you.
We'll be right back with more of The Workers Mike right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Workers Mike. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. So those guys are I mean, they're like
doing the Lord's work.
They're doing it for the right reason.
Yeah.
Right? Like, did we ask them on the air or off the air whether they got paid for it?
On. That was on.
And on the record, they said no.
They said it was a labor of love, which, you know, in this sort of sector, I think is true because people make these podcasts because they're trying to inform people on how to get more money in their pockets.
It's like the TikTok, like the union guy, you know, the proud union guy or whatever. Like, he's, I love that dude, and the proud union warrior guys and whatnot. I mean, it seems to be like they're not monetizing it, right? I don't know. Maybe.
No.
I don't think so.
Depends on how many followers you have.
I guess.
Little bonuses that you can get from the carriers and the platforms.
Anyway, I just thought it was interesting, and so that was cool. So you talked, Ed, on Wednesday, right, on Worker Wednesday, about something fascinating that went on, and we've been covering this in Utah, right?
Right.
So talk about it. Tell us.
So back in February, listeners, you'll remember, a bill passed in Utah that stripped collective bargaining rights from public employees in Utah.
So
police.
Ooh, that's right.
Yeah. Police, fire, teachers, they all lost the ability, and public little local governments were banned from even recognizing or negotiating with unions. You know, it's a little bit of big government. So this happened, and basically what workers and unions did was they said, we've got to use this way in the state of Utah to put this law on the ballot in November of 2026. But in order to do that, they had to collect 120,000 signatures in 30 days. It's a pretty onerous, you know, requirement.
Isn't that more people that live in Utah?
Not quite, but you've got to get a certain amount from every county. So it's a big job, and it's basically set up so that nobody can really appeal, and it's never successful. But what they managed to do in 30 days was get over 320,000 signatures.
Whoa.
So more than double what they needed.
Whoa.
So they were poised to put this law, this ban on collective bargaining, onto the ballot in November of 2026.
And this was statewide, right?
Correct.
Wasn't all just in Salt Lake, which is the vote-rich part of the state?
Yeah, the whole state. Yeah. And so they were poised to be on the ballot in November of 2026. There's been a lot of polling statewide in Utah about this. And what they've found time and time again is that more than 80% of Utah voters of both parties are against this. They're against, and basically, I mean, I think Utah, what they did was pretty amateur hour for a number of reasons. It was wrong, but it was also amateurish because typically when states go after their public employees, they leave police and fire out of it because
they
know nobody wants to see cops and firefighters getting messed
with. Like Wisconsin did.
Utah didn't
Prop 10,
didn't recognize this, so they went after everybody. But when they see that this is going to be on the ballot, that it's deeply unpopular, what they determined was they're all up for election in November of 2026. So they're like, we can't have a bunch of angry workers coming to the ballots because they might, I don't know, vote us out for what we did. So, you know, first off,
short-sighted.
But I think it's a great demonstration of the power that people have when they get upset about something and actually do something about it. So what they did this week was they voted to repeal the law that they passed, you know, 10 short months ago.
Who did?
The legislators and the governor in the state of Utah. So they also have some sort of a weird gerrymandering thing coming up in 2026.
Doesn't everybody?
Yeah, so they're trying to keep workers from coming to the polls because they think it'll hurt their chances of getting that done too. But they took their tail collectively, they put it between their legs, and they ran away because they were scared of workers who were upset.
No.
Good riddance. You should have listened to the first time, you know? But yay the people who got 300,000 signatures in 30 days. That's power.
Yay to them.
300,000.
Yeah.
And that's a massive amount. And by the way, how many union members are in Utah? I guarantee it's not 300,000.
It actually is. But just in public sector, there are over 200,000.
Okay.
According to my good friends G, P, and T that I asked,
I believe
momentarily
ago. I know those friends.
Yeah, they might not be right, but that's what they gave me.
That's interesting. So so good for labor, good for them for doing it. Like and so who spearheaded it, Ed? Like, was it like the Utah AFL-CIO?
No, they started they started a coalition, and I forget the name of the coalition off the top of my head.
It's okay. But it wasn't
Protect Utah Workers. That was the name of the coalition.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just all the different labor organizations
the
and interesting
firefighters,
parties.
Et cetera, right?
Which did their signatures, was that binding though? But because you said eventually that the lawmakers had to drop their proposal, right?
Well, no, it was passed.
It was passed.
It was a law.
Okay.
But very much like the state of Missouri, say 2018, I want to say, they passed Right to Work.
Right.
And several states have a provision where voters, if they disagree with something, it's like a check and balance.
Yeah.
If they disagree with something the legislature has done, they can get a number of signatures.
Yeah.
They can file to put it on the ballot and just say, like, let's let the people decide. So when you have this staring, you know, at you as a legislator and you see what the people want and it's clearly different than what you've done, you know, they're trying to avoid accountability. You know, Politico, I think, or Axios had a story about how this move was great for them politically.
Right.
And I mean, by great for them politically, it means they're sparing themselves from their own mistakes.
Right. Yes.
The well, maybe,
but it here, might be a lesson in the way that Missouri was.
Yeah, they're watching which way the wind blows on this.
Listen,
yes.
We've been talking about this for a while now, and this is like what I consider the Josh Hawley effect, right? Where it's like, hey, wait, I made a mistake, and I'm actually going to, for the first time, I'm going to listen to my constituents.
Correct.
I'm not going to force feed them what the big business that's funding my campaigns want. I'm actually going to listen to them. And I think if, like you said, look, Utah's, a deep red, purely Republican, right, state, and they had to, eat some crow a little bit, but maybe realize, like, they're hurting their own constituents.
Yeah.
Well, right. And at the end of the day,
police and fire generally are Republican.
Right.
Right.
And if you're a legislator and you found ways to use this office to benefit yourself, which I'm sure most of them in some way, shape, or form do, you still got to get elected. Otherwise, you don't get to do that. So they're like, at some point, like, okay, we can't just, go completely against our constituents.
Yeah, it was very ill-conceived to begin with.
I agree with you, Phil. Like,
whose idea was this?
And more importantly, why?
Yeah, why?
Like what is big business?
One guy who has a lot of money asked them to do it.
Yeah.
That's a guess, but I'm probably correct.
Generally, that's what happens here. But yeah, it just seems like that's just not the way the country's moving right now. Like, if anything, it's becoming more populist towards the worker.
I think that's right.
Even Trump. So it's like, where do they come up with this idea? Yeah.
It's the pendulum. Somebody always used to tell me the pendulum can only swing so far in one direction, and then you swing it far enough, it comes back.
I
think that's what's happening with all this sort of anti-worker stuff is it's awakening people or upsetting people or drawing people into the fight who wouldn't be.
And you know what? Speaking of that, there was a bill that we've been talking about in the House, and it gained enough signatures to force a vote on the floor.
Yeah, on the discharge petition.
And it passed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it, at least in the House anyway, restored collective bargaining rights for federal workers. And now it goes to the Senate. They think it's dead on arrival at the Senate. But I'm saying I don't think that they should, be so quick to judge, because what happened in the House, if the Senate's smart, they do the exact same thing, right? Like, don't hurt the people that put you in office.
I think the discharge petition is like, it's almost like the representation of people in Congress. Because if a bunch of people have a great idea for a bill in Congress and the speaker doesn't want it for whatever reason he chooses, they block it.
Right.
And if it's not going to go, but legislators of both parties recognize this is what people want and this is something we have to do, they do a discharge petition. So anything that moves forward on a discharge petition should at least get a vote.
And they're very rare.
They are not anymore. They're not.
No, they're happening a lot more.
I guess
lately.
Not.
Yeah, this is something that.
But I'm
just
curious to see what happens in the Senate now, right? I'm curious to see how many Josh Hawleys, and hopefully Josh is one of them. I call him Josh now. That like comes and says, you know what? Let's bipartisan this. Federal workers should have collective bargaining rights, and hopefully they get them back. And if they get them back, federal unions, you got to go organize. You got to organize.
Yeah.
Just that simple.
Was this the one that they slipped into the national defense?
Yeah, it was saying that these unions had national defense roles,
right.
So they couldn't be collective bargaining.
Yeah, first of all, ridiculous.
Outrageous, yeah.
Absolutely. No basis in fact whatsoever.
Shocking.
Shocking. And then speaking of petitions, Ed, you said that there is currently a petition going around a UAW location in Tennessee?
Right. Volkswagen organized a, I think it was in Chattanooga, Tennessee, a couple of years back. They've been fighting for a contract.
So this is the UAW.
Right.
Organized the Volkswagen plant.
Correct.
Okay.
And what Volkswagen, I guess, has proposed, they're doing a little bit of direct dealing with their members, or with these employees, I should say, and saying that over 5 years, we'll do a 20% raise. That's part of our proposal. So the National Right to Work Committee, which hates unions and is trying to rid America of them, is doing a canvassing effort with all these employees, just saying, get the raise without the hassle, get the raise without the fight, you know, just take the money, get rid of the union. The union won't accept this. But what they don't say is the union is probably fighting for healthcare and fighting for just cause
and pension and seniority and all the other bells and whistles that go along with being in the union.
Yeah. It reminds me of, I forget who it was. There was, maybe it was Walmart or Target, where they had a thing a few years back where they said union dues will cost you $250 a year for that. You could buy a PlayStation. Wouldn't you rather have a PlayStation?
That's right.
And it's no, if you pay $250 a year in union dues and that representation gets you $5,000 more in annual pay,
you could buy five places.
That's what we call a good deal.
So let me ask you this, Ed. Is there a decertification petition filed yet or no?
I don't think so. I think what they're doing right now is just trying to sort of build support toward that end.
So first of all, a couple of things. One is, if you are a UAW member or any union, don't fall for this. It's an extremely old trick, and that is, here, we're going to wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We're going to make this offer, and if the union happened to go away, we're still going to give you that money. First of all, that's usually an unfair labor practice charge to deal directly with the employers once they're certified. And secondly, great, put it in writing.
Yeah. Right?
Let's have, let's have, how many people are down there? Let's say there's 3,000 members down there. Great. I want 3,000 contracts to say, over the next 5 years, I'm going to get a 25% pay increase or whatever that number is. They're not going to put it in writing.
No.
The only way you're going to get it in writing is through union contract.
Right.
End of discussion. So they can promise you the stars and the moon, anything, and national rights of work. Say, you don't need to pay union dues. Just take the money and run. Don't worry about it. It's a hassle. And guess what? Year one, they give you a raise, right?
Yeah.
Year two, times are tough.
Sorry
and,
about that.
And by the way, we're moving our plants to Mexico.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if, it's just don't fall for it.
Yeah, we said that, but actually, no, we're not able to meet that promise.
Yeah, if an employer is telling you, we'll give you more than the union could get you, why are they trying to get rid of the union? Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we all know our employers are in the business of giving us more money than they should, right? Listeners? are you making way more money than you feel you deserve? Anybody else out there? Huh? No? Nobody?
Well, the union itself is called a third party, right? Oh, we don't need a third party getting in the way of our relationship.
We're a family business.
Yeah, we're Volkswagen. We're a family business. And so
it does mean the people's car.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I knew that. And so now the National Right to Work Committee gets involved. Now it's a fourth party, coming in and, handing out flyers. And, what's the National Right to Work Committee's dog in this fight? They just don't like unions.
Yeah.
End of discussion. It doesn't matter. They just want unions to go away.
Because the unions will get you health care and higher wages.
Why do they want unions to go away, right? Because of corporate greed. It's just very, very simple.
And Volkswagen is union in their homeland.
Of course.
And that's what it's so strange when you have multinational companies, when they're where they're based, they're all union. And then they come over here and they're like, no.
Here, Volkswagen, how about this? Take a stand and
say,
listen, we want to deal directly with the union. We don't need interlopers outside trying to influence our folks to file any kind of petition whatsoever.
Yeah.
We want to come to a fair deal and deal with the
union. We know how this works.
Because that's who they represent. That's who they elected to represent them.
Yes.
Right.
Well, during that election, Volkswagen in Germany and their headquarters did do that.
Yes.
And state legislators in Tennessee said, no.
That's right.
If the workers want it and the company's fine with it, who cares?
Yes.
Who else has got a dog in the fight?
You know who cares? The legislators in Tennessee. Yes. They care. We don't want no
in South Carolina.
We don't want no unions down here. Yeah. Right.
That's not how they sound in Tennessee, Ken. Mm-hmm. Not all that.
Yeah. That's my version of how they sound.
Jeez.
All right.
So I tell you about what happened in Ohio with the governor there vetoing the bill that would have allowed 14-year-olds to work till 9 p.m.? Yeah, this is
what?
Yeah, this is
like a Timmy follow-up?
Like a Timmy follow-up. But this is people even older than Timmy. Yeah, there was a bill, very, and again, curious bill, that would have allowed children up to the age of 15 to work till 9 p.m. on weeknights.
On weeknights.
On weeknights. You know, because why would you be studying when you could be working at the pig factory or whatever they're doing? And the governor, Mike DeWine, Republican, to his credit, is like, kids should be spending their time studying. Good. This is insane. Good. No, like, there's this push from some of these surrounding states to us. I just keep rolling back child protection laws, and thankfully, we got some people who are coming to their senses saying, like, no.
It passed both houses?
It passed, and then he vetoed it. Yes.
Now, is it, do they have a veto-proof majority?
I don't believe it had a supermajority.
Very good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Wow. So somebody actually waking up a little bit?
It sounds like it.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah. Hopefully he heard our little Timmy story and realized this is a problem.
Probably.
Yeah.
Right.
Good job, little Timmy.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back. We'll wrap it up with a couple of interesting stories that are going on, especially in Ed Maher land, i.e. Denny's.
Ouch. I'm a Waffle House guy.
I'm kidding.
I haven't been to Denny's in years.
Well, you're about to be a Denny's guy. Listen, we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Phil had to go.
He's in the bathroom.
Oh, he's in the bathroom?
That's what I think.
Had to go.
He just ran.
Phil just ran. So.
Unexplainable. But, right, we got to be back for our listeners.
Well, we can bat about Phil then.
We will.
No, absolutely not. So a couple of quick things to wrap up. So we've been talking about autonomous cars.
Yeah. Right?
Autonomy, AI, et cetera, taking our jobs, and it's coming. But it seems like it's not working that well because... Right.
Well, to your point, Waymo is trying to, it's in Austin, Texas, I think San Francisco, it's in a number of places. They're trying to expand all over the country, these driverless cars.
Yeah.
And in Boston, the Teamsters Local 25 is fighting back against them.
Good.
There's a couple good reasons why people should support this. First off, you're taking people out of a job.
Yes.
But second, these driverless cars are terrifying because... They don't work very well. And there was a great example of that this past week, and I think it was in San Francisco, where they basically blocked the street. Three Waymo cars wound up basically pointed at each other in the middle of an intersection, and it blocked all the traffic because the cars didn't know what to do. So they just stopped and blocked the whole street, and everyone's out of their cars like, what in the world are we supposed to do about this?
Waymo standoff?
Yeah, that's what they called it, a standoff. And then there was another video that went viral of a woman in a car behind a Waymo in a construction zone. And she's like, the Waymo is getting really confused by these cones and the construction barrels. And as she said it, the Waymo went around a cone and just took off into oncoming traffic. So I'm laughing, but then I'm thinking, this is the worst advertisement you could possibly have for a driverless vehicle. Like, if you get in that car and you're riding in it and it decides to go into oncoming traffic, you just put your head between your knees and kiss it goodbye because there's nobody to say, hey, you're in oncoming traffic.
But here, would you get into a pilotless plane?
No. Well,
of course not. And don't get into these. It's just
Uber,
very simple.
And Uber drivers and cab drivers, argue with me if you want, but I'm right. They're the most interesting people in the world.
It's nice to have a conversation, first of all, when you're on your trip, right?
For sure.
And people from all over the world, especially here in Chicagoland. So no question about that. But once again, don't fall for the bait and switch because it's going to happen to you. They're going to drop the price of Waymo and go, look, it's more cost effective to take Waymo. I've heard this from people that have taken Waymo.
Right.
And why would you take it? Well, it's cheaper. It's cheaper now.
That's what happened with Uber.
That's what happened with ATMs. That's what happens with everything.
Yeah.
Your first hit is free.
I remember when Uber, you could get a ride across the city for like
$3. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
2 weeks ago, I rode across the river, about a 5-minute ride, and it was $30.
You rode across the river like in a water taxi?
I had I just the car might have ended up in the river if it was a Waymo.
I know. No, it's expensive. It's expensive. So... Listen, once again, don't fall into this trap of like, oh my God, this is so cool. I'm going to use automation and I'm going to not have to talk to the driver for 5 minutes or whatever. Just don't take it. If there's no need, if there's no demand, It just doesn't exist.
And Uber also lets you choose to have your driver not talk to you if you are.
Yeah, if it's
that
really
variety.
That bad, like you don't want to talk to your driver. Then
who do you think you are?
I know. It's just like, I don't know.
Don't talk to me.
And you know, maybe it's like, oh, look, I'm going to take Waymo for novelty. This is so fun. No, it's not.
Yeah,
I mean, you're taking people's jobs.
Yeah, and your kids will be like, why did my dad make it? He didn't make it home last night. Oh, he thought it'd be funny to take a driverless car.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Oh, you got to live with that. Don't do that to your kids.
Another thing is these stupid little robots that deliver food, they're tooling down the sidewalk and they have four wheels and they're engine driven, but you can't ride a bicycle down the sidewalk.
Right.
You can't ride one of those electric scooters on the sidewalk, an e-bike on the sidewalk. You can't do any of that. But somehow that these little robot thingies that are powered by an engine, they get to cruise around the sidewalks. That should not be allowed here.
I actually bumped into one of those. I wasn't looking down at my ankles and it bumped into my shins and I tripped so bad that it wound up getting tossed into the river and it was an accident, but it happened.
First of all, they are cute.
They are cute, especially, and when you throw them over a railing, they scream.
Do they really? Let's see if they
splash.
Let's see if they sink or swim. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Interesting show today. Super psyched, and thanks for all the kind comments and the emails. You know, continue sending those and the suggestions for what to have on. We really appreciate it and appreciate all the support. We'll see you next week on The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.